Bitcoin super cycle or top signal? How to think clearly when the hype starts. Did we just hear the word super cycle right as Bitcoin started looking ready to go vertical? Or is this exactly the kind of hype that shows up before the market punishes late buyers? When someone like CZ says super cycle on a live stream, it stops being just a comment. It becomes a narrative, and narratives move money fast. The moment a clip like that hits social media, the chart stops being a chart. It becomes a crowd reaction test. Some people rush in because CZ confirmed it. Others panic and sell because this has to be the top. And many traders do both. They buy the spike, panic on the first drop, then buy back higher and wonder why they feel wrecked while Bitcoin keeps moving without them. That is the real trap. It is not just whether the words are bullish. It is how fast a headline can hijack your timing and turn you into liquidity for someone who was ready before you even saw the clip. So the goal here is simple. Stay grounded. No personality worship. No doom posting. Just a clean way to understand what this kind of clip does to traders and how not to get used by it. The biggest mistake with super cycle talk is that it pushes people into two bad decisions. They either FOMO into a stretch move or they sell too early because they think the top must already be in. Both mistakes are expensive. You buy the candle after it already ran. Then you get shaken out on the first hard pullback. Then price snaps back and you buy again at a worse level. That cycle repeats until you are emotionally exhausted and underperforming even a simple long-term holder. That pattern is not unique to crypto. Investors have been doing it for decades. They chase performance, then sell fear. Crypto just compresses that behavior into a much faster and more emotional loop. So when supercycle starts trending, the question is not, is CZ right? The better question is, what is this narrative making the crowd do, and how do I avoid trading like the crowd? This clip hits harder than a normal bullish quote because CZ carries market gravity. He is not just another influencer. And the word supercycle is not the same as saying, I feel bullish. It suggests something bigger. It suggests that the old cycle rules might not apply the same way, that dips may keep getting absorbed, and that taking more risk might feel safe. That is where mistakes get expensive. The word parabolic matters too. In practical terms, it means price starts rising faster than a healthy trend normally would. Pullbacks become fragile. Leverage builds. And once too many people are on the same side, even a small drop can trigger liquidations and turn into a cascade. That is why experienced traders pay attention when a clip like this goes viral. It does not automatically mean the market will crash, but it does mean the trade can become more fragile because confidence gets crowded. Before trading any clip, I would verify it properly. I would watch the full segment, not just the edited version. I would check when the stream happened. I would compare reposts to see whether context is missing. And I would listen for the sentence before and after the famous line. That matters because the strongest version of a quote is usually the one that gets clipped. We are in a supercycle, lands differently than, it kind of feels like a supercycle, but we still need to watch these risks. One is certainty, the other is a possibility. Markets often react to the first version, even when the full context sounds much more cautious. If the clip does not include what came right before and right after the main line, treat it as marketing, not information. Then comes the real scoreboard. On-chain and positioning. The first metric is MVRV. It compares market price to the average cost basis of holders. Rising MVRV in a bull market is normal, but when it gets historically extreme, it can mean price is stretched and vulnerable to sharp pullbacks. I do not read it as high MVRV means sell. I read it as a measure of how stretched the market is becoming. The second metric is SOPAR. It shows whether coins being moved are being sold at a profit or a loss. In a healthy bull market, profit taking happens, but the market absorbs it. That is what you want to see. If SOPAR stays elevated while price starts feeling weak, it may mean late buyers are absorbing early sellers, and that is not a great sign. The third is new PL. It estimates how much unrealized profit the market is sitting on. It is useful because it often tracks crowd psychology. When NUPL gets into euphoria territory, price can still go higher. But it also means the market is more vulnerable because everyone starts feeling like dips are impossible right before one hits. On-chain helps, but it does not tell the whole story. You also need to watch derivatives. Funding rates tell you whether longs are getting crowded. Open interest shows how much leverage is building. Liquidation heat maps show where forced moves can happen. Exchange inflows can hint that coins are moving closer to being sold. This is why parabolic moves feel amazing right until they do not. A leverage-driven rally can keep going far longer than expected, then unwind in minutes. So, are we expecting a crash? The honest answer is yes. That is always possible, even in a strong bull market, even in a real supercycle. High upside environments are often the same environments where risk gets ignored the most. That is why I treat supercycle as a thesis, not a guarantee. Maybe Bitcoin is entering a stronger and longer cycle because of structural demand, better market access, or broader adoption. That can be true. But even real long-term bull markets can have violent resets along the way. The practical question is how to position without getting wrecked. If I am a long-term holder, I keep my core position boring. I do not go all in because of a clip, and I do not panic out on one red day. I add with rules, not emotion. I may buy on a schedule, accelerate only on meaningful dips, and take a little off into strength so I reduce the chance of making a stupid decision later. I keep cash available because cash is optionality. If I am a swing trader, I reduce size as volatility rises. Bigger candles mean smaller positions. I prefer buying pullbacks over chasing breakouts. I define my invalidation before entering, and I take profits in layers instead of trying to nail the exact top. If I am new and feel late, I refuse the lump sum FOMO buy. I split entries into smaller pieces. I decide in advance what would make me stop buying, and I avoid leverage completely. New trader plus leverage plus parabolic market is how accounts disappear. If I have been burned before, I separate re-entry from revenge. Re-entry is small and planned. Revenge is emotional and oversized. I focus on staying solvent, not proving I am right. In the end, I keep two possible playbooks in mind. One is supercycle continuation. In that case, pullbacks get bought, profit taking gets absorbed, and leverage stays hot but not insane. I buy dips in pieces, keep a core position, and only add when the market proves it can hold key levels. The other is a blow-off top first. In that case, candles go vertical, social mania goes mainstream, leverage gets extreme, and exchange inflows rise. Then I take profits faster, tighten risk, stop adding on strength, and prepare for a drop that feels impossible right before it happens. My rule is simple. If I feel the urge to screenshot my portfolio, I should probably be scaling something out. So no, I am not treating supercycle like a magic button, and I am not treating top signal like a prophecy either. I am treating it as a moment to get serious. Trade a plan. Respect leverage. Watch the scoreboard, not the noise. If this is real continuation, you do not need to gamble to benefit. If it is a blow-off first, you do not need to be a hero to survive it. Parabolic markets do not reward the smartest opinion. They reward the cleanest execution.